to switch gears for the last hour of the 9 till noon show for this week. And delighted to welcome into studio once again, Michael Leddy. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Writer and blogger, of course, on our own Fionnuala Abbott. Hi, Fionnuala.
Hi.
Good to have you with us. Right, okay. Both of you watched The Last of Us, and I would have played The Last of Us video game back God knows when. I wasn't a big fan of them, but peer pressure, you know. So I've heard people raving about this. I think there's only two episodes have been put out so far. Is that correct?
Yes.
Do you want to kick it off, Michael, this week?
Yeah, I like this show. You're right. People are raving about it. I like it a lot, and I'm very excited to watch the rest of the season, but I don't quite get the enthusiasm. Like, I was posting myself last night that it's not the best thing I saw this week. It's about fifth best thing I've seen, but it's very good. And the second episode was better than the first, which is hopeful for future episodes. It's based on a computer game. One of the two guys that created the game is heavily involved in the making of the TV show. He's one of the producers and he's one of the writers. And that's one thing that people are pointing towards and saying, this works because it's the original writer. And they're contrasting it with a show I don't watch called The Witcher, which has a sort of a divided fan base.
And what is the storyline of the computer game and also then obviously the...
So it starts, the TV show, and it's a HBO production, so it's a big budget
Money's
production.
Money's been thrown
Money
at it,
has been put on screen, and they're really going into the backstory. The first two episodes started with lengthy flashbacks going back 20 years, about 2003, and it's a viral outbreak, but it's based around fungi, which is very novel and different, and it's something different. And it breaks out rapidly 20 years ago, causing people to become zombified and become very violent.
Sounds familiar. Yeah.
And eventually mushrooms.
Yes.
Okay. They turn into fungi.
Yes, they do. And people begin almost immediately rioting, and the only way the governments of the world can deal with this is to bomb the cities. So that was the past. That's the backstory.
So you give up on these people.
Just give up on
these
people,
yeah. The only way you can contain this in San Fran or something is to level it.
Yeah, and these background scenes, they're really good. Like, they get reasonably big name people in to do those. But the main thrust of the story is the present day of 2023, and it's a post-apocalyptic version of the world. Greg is rolling his eyes here. He loves all this. So basically, you have a scenario where the good people that are left are inside walled cities, and you have a sort of a dodgy guy whose backstory is dealt with, a very tragic backstory is dealt with in the first episode. And he, through a variety of circumstances, is tasked with bringing himself and his partner in crime. They're tasked, the wonderful, wonderful Anna Torv, who's just amazing, from The Newsreader and Fringe and other things. They're tasked with bringing a teenage girl from location A across the United States through very dangerous territories.
So half the world is destroyed.
Half the world is
Why
destroyed.
Why should we care about one girl?
Yeah, this girl and...
I don't mean that badly, but
Well, there's a degenerate...
This is a pretty post-apocalyptic situation.
Oh, it's terrible, yeah.
Is she a saviour or something?
Skyscrapers are leaning...
Does she contain the antibody?
Well, they try and generate a bit of a mystery about that.
I mean,
in
that's the only
episode.
Thing it could be, isn't it?
Yes. But in the second episode, they pull the trigger and they basically say... Yes.
Right. Now, I have no knowledge of this. It's not featured in the game. It's just somewhat predictable.
Yes, it is. It's very obvious what's happening.
Go on, Flu. She wants to poo on this from a great height.
I don't want to poo on it at all. First of all, as Mike said, there are some amazing actors.
Yes.
HBO took all of the people that were in Game of Thrones who are now at home twiddling their thumbs and went, ah, lads, you were great. Let's find you something else for you to do. And there's a load of people from Game of Thrones in it. The young girl that's in it is from Game of Thrones. The
fabulous actress.
Anti-hero that you're talking about is from
Pedro.
He's from Game of Thrones.
He's in The Mandalorian as well, but yeah, yeah.
He's also from that, what's that, Casiel Diablo, the wine ad. So he's in loads of things.
Any wine ads. They don't mean as much to me as they evidently do to you, Fionnuala.
He's in them for years. But there's an amazing cast in this. Absolutely unbelievable. And even if you go on the trailers, even more amazing cast can be popping up through it. You know, people that you'd know and recognise. But I don't understand, like Michael, the whole big hype about it in the sense that this is not a new story.
Agreed.
You know, they talk about how they've taken it from the video game, which would make you think, all right, okay, well, maybe the video game was doing something that nobody else is doing. But we've seen this story. You know, it's a guy having to travel across. Do you remember we watched the thing and it was about that child that had antlers and everybody, some of the kids grew antlers. It was on Netflix. But this is the exact same story.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you watch any of these kind of things. What is the way
what was
this
the one
is
that,
now?
Was
is,
it Clive Owen? Or, you remember the one about the they couldn't give birth and then the woman was, he had to, it wasn't a child.
Oh, yeah. Children of the... Something like that, wasn't it? And it was like the one woman, the first woman in 20 years gets pregnant.
Right, so Fernanda, if it is clearly a story that's been told a million times, and
yes.
I think there's very little few new stories, right? So then it has to do something different that makes it stand out. And then we sort of forgive... the sort of rehashing of an old familiar tale. Has it done any of that?
Well, I think that's what's holding it up, is that they threw money at the problem.
Mm.
You know what I mean? To my mind, that they sat around...
So if you're sitting watching this on a square cattle ray tube TV, it's no good to you then.
Well, you're going to... Yeah, you definitely want to be on a nice television. But they threw money at the problem, so it's like it's very big budgety.
Mm.
There's lots of different stuff. It's also... It's like... You start off at one point and you kind of like, oh, this is a sort of a dystopian thing. So it's it reminds me of the other shows that you've seen before.
Walking Dead.
Then The Walking Dead definitely comes into it with all these kind of the zombie fights. Then now it's all coming in. They're really like monster looking things because they're like mushroom heads and all kinds of stuff. I don't know how else to describe it, but
yeah.
Because it's a fungus thing. So they have done, and the cast, as I said, is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Like you'd struggle to find a bad actor in it from the two bit that I've seen. Mm-hmm. You know, the way even like to the what you think would be the smallest little character in it, and yet you'd be like, oh god, I've seen him in four or five things. You know what I mean?
The cast is deep, exactly.
And I think that's what's going to make it. That's what's making it stand out. Really, is the money.
Yeah.
But on a scale of people getting so excited, but then people love this kind of stuff.
Have we been waiting for something big for a while now, though? Like, if you think, when was the last big marquee
water cooler talk about afterwards kind of thing?
Maybe that's it. It's just
look, that could be it. And to be honest, this is not my cup of tea.
Is he going to turn into a mushroom?
One thing that the show does have going for it, and it wasn't evident in the first episode, but it wasn't the second episode. Because the first two episodes really work like a two-hour movie, and you only really have the premise in the final seconds in the second episode. But that when they first encounter the creatures, that was real tension. They worked the suspense there, and I think that's going to be a selling point of it as well. Now it could get old very fast, but it was good. Like that confrontation in the big building, and the creatures hear rather than see. So you can't do what I just did, which is cough. You can't do that, or you're doomed. You're doomed, Greg. You're doomed.
So is a lot of it then based on anticipation? You know what might be.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that sounds very familiar to that game.
It reminds me of those war movies or TV shows like Tour of Duty, where you don't always have to have action scenes, but if they're walking through the jungle and any moment they might be attacked.
Has to be done well, though.
Yeah, you're like, what's happening? So they're walking through the city. Maybe for 20 minutes nothing will happen, but they have to be careful because you don't know who's around the corner.
Mm.
So that can pull a viewer in, you know?
I wonder maybe they want the name recognition of The Last of Us, because really they didn't need to probably pay whatever they might have had to pay to use the basis of this storyline, because it's been so well often done before.
Yeah.
Well, I'm assuming it's because it's the same writer that was involved in it, so maybe that's what it, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was with the writer and that kind of thing.
So,
to me, it's stuff you've seen before, but they are doing it very well.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to stay watching it, and normally I would kind of walk away from this kind of thing because it's not my cup of tea. Like, I don't generally like a dystopian or any of that kind of stuff. I'm like,
well, I stopped watching The Walking Dead after two episodes because it just wasn't for me. Two episodes of The Walking Dead, I wasn't watching
it. But Walking Dead is similar.
This is similar, but I'm going to stick with it.
A regular program, but every now and again, you know what I mean? But everything else to me seems like your regular show, but every now and again there's a zombie.
People in fields covered in dirt was really how I saw it. I was like,
and yet look how many series there's been in there.
How loyal the fans of that show are as well.
Like, I watched, I think, series one and two when that started, and I was like, God, this thing how long can they keep this thing going? Right. Like, and now here they are.
Long after you stopped watching it.
I know. You're like,
they have said about The Last of Us, season one will adapt the first game. Then they will adapt the second game. They say they might get maybe two seasons, but the producers have gone on record as saying they have no intention of spinning this out for like seven or eight seasons. They're going to adapt the two games and wrap it up.
Well, let's see how much money they make out of it. Mm. Mm. All right, that's The Last of Us. It's being shown weekly on Sky Atlantic,
yep.
And it's based on that 2013 video game that some of you out there listening will have played, I'm sure. And it's only the latest game, really, that's got the Hollywood treatment. There's a couple of others. This sounds like it could be one of the most successful. Have you watched The Last of Us? The third episode coming to you on Monday at 9 p.m. Let us know, 086 60 25000, WhatsApp or text that number. What else have you been watching? 07491 25000. Have you been to the cinema? Have you read a good book? Anything at all. When we saw entertainment, it's whatever you're doing that I think is not watching or listening to the news. I think that's for me now. And TikTok is now my entertainment to some extent. Right, let's see. No, we can keep going here. I am interested in all of it, but let me see. There was something down on this is your list here. Shrinking.
Ah. Ooh. So this, you're going to like this one because this one just actually landed today, this morning.
Okay. Did you watch it yet?
I've watched 1.5 episodes.
Wow. I'm
very impressed. It's not very hard to watch it. When I say it's a half-hour comedy, it's an Apple TV half-hour comedy, as in the first one might be 35 minutes, the second one might be 32 minutes. The Apple TV love to keep you guessing as to how long you're committing to each one of their no matter what one of their shows I watch, I don't think any of them have a set runtime. It's hilarious.
But we've been so conditioned. But I suppose you want to plan. Do I have time to stick an episode in between before bed? But of course you can always back time it. I don't know.
I don't know. It's just a weird little quirk, I think, with some of their shows. This is much awaited, much anticipated. Ted Lasso is the TV program that we love.
Everyone who's watched that loves it. They adore it. Like,
it's very hard.
Multiple watchers, you know.
Yeah.
Rewatch it a few times.
Oh, God, I don't even want to tell you how often I watch it.
Well, that's how good it is, yeah.
It's getting ridiculous after I watch it. And very exciting that they announced what they considered the release date to Ted Lasso, and they said spring of this year. It's like, that's not a freaking date. We need an actual date.
Is that episode series three? Is it?
It is series three. Supposedly the final episode.
I think if they do that, they're going to have an all time
classic.
You know, well, if they keep it limited to three, like
that's what I think. What they're talking about that they wanted to do. The reason why I'm bringing it up is because one of the producers of Ted Lasso is one of the writers of this, and one of the actors slash writers from Ted Lasso is also one of the writers for this. Brett Goldstein is one of the writers, and I can't think of the name of the other guy. He's in the background of Ted Lasso. He's involved in this as well, along with Jason Segel.
Bill Lawrence.
That's it.
Well done.
And,
10 points.
Jason Segel.
He's the guy who did Scrubs.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Well,
yeah,
Scrubs.
He did do Scrubs as well. But so this is basically the... So that's one of the reasons why this is much anticipated, because of his connection to Ted Lasso and people loving Ted Lasso, and also because this is Harrison Ford's first TV program, I think. Particularly...
If you don't count...
Yeah,
he might have
done one back.
The Yellowstone spin-off thing. He's in that too.
But this is the first
ongoing.
That he's been involved in, and it is actually really kind of sweet and nice. So Jason Segel, people kind of would know him from different kind of funny comedies and How I Met Your Mother and that kind of thing. That's where he came up through it. He plays a psychiatrist who is going through his own personal trauma and grief at the moment. He is supported by a huge cast of loads of names and people that you'd see and have seen in different things along the way. And his senior therapist in the centre that he works is Harrison Ford, who is also his own therapist, as you always have in these things. Jason Segel is not coping very well with his own personal problems, and so he starts to tell his patients what he thinks. And
Frank. He's off book.
No, it goes a little bit off book and sort of go, you know, the way you're sitting there telling them, oh God, I don't know why my mother's terrible. Like, and he's just move out.
Yeah.
Stop living with her.
Okay.
What do you know, that kind of a thing. So it's very kind of sweet and poignant, and it also is quite witty. There's a lot of fun in it. Even Harrison Ford is kind of the sort of grumpy older, you know, that sort of a character in it. So every once in a while, he's
Harrison
sort of,
Ford, basically. So.
Yeah. To be honest, he's sort of playing himself, really, I think, in some of it that I've seen so far, because he's just really there with the kind of kick up the backside sort of, you know, reality checks for them all, with that kind of like dry, sort of wit that you assume Harrison Ford has, as in this, the characters that he plays. I don't know if he's actually like that in real life, but that's what it is. So it's very enjoyable. It's just, it's dropping on a weekly basis now. So the first two are on Apple TV. Apple TV has got a load of great shows. It's definitely worth, you know, yeah, we were talking about things changing over. There's a few of them. There's one, there's a great new show about a podcast, and there's a the ones that you've seen, there's
For All Mankind is on there, and
For All Mankind,
Physical
Some people get their broadband. Get their broadband for free. I think some people with certain mobile phone contracts get it for free as well, and you can always sign up for a trial.
Well, even it has gone up. It's up to $6.99 now, I think, per month, which is.
I think I have an LG TV, and I think through the LG VT they're offering free 3 months as a trial or something. Yeah, there's ways of picking
look
this
at
up
there's loads of things, and if people are
they have an amazing lineup, they do. They really
have
a strong lineup.
They do have some amazing. If you like a good drama, they have a lot of good drama coming through. In this. And
isn't that sister show on there?
Yeah.
So in terms of this, you would try to park Ted Lasso at the door walking in, but inevitably there's going to be comparisons because the same people are involved-ish, kind of. And
it's a completely different kind of a thing in a sense that it's much more irreverent. The Ted Lasso thing is very much a feel-good. That's the kind of thing that it's going for all the time. It's all about how, good and kindness eventually triumphs. That's the kind of feeling that you get from Ted Lasso along the way. Obviously, we have to see how the third season peters out. But it's that's the kind of feeling that you get through when you're watching it, which is why it was such a big hit, I think, during the pandemic and that kind of thing as well. It was just one that, it's like putting on a blanket. This now has got, is a little bit more adult, I suppose, in that sense. In that there's a little bit more language. There's a little bit more depth and grief and that kind of, you know what I mean, and that sort of a thing with it.
Challenges you a wee bit more.
Exactly. There's a little bit. It's not quite the cuddle as well, but there's just something about it that it has a nice, there's just a nice feel to it when you're watching it that I just think it's going to be really good. Okay. That's what it is.
Brilliant. So. And when the new episode's released?
Every Friday now. There's two down now, and then there's every Friday, and there's 10 in total.
Excellent. Okay. And did you watch... You have watched Ted Lasso. You're a big fan of that as well. And obviously you're going to watch this then.
I am going to watch this as well. And I'm going right back to Scrubs. I've been a fan of Bill Lawrence. And they're good shows.
All right. Big thumbs up then from Fionnuala so far as it relates to Shrinking. And both, you heard the reviews of The Last of Us on Sky Atlantic. Both going to continue with it.
Mm-hmm.
See, maybe they might actually in the subsequent episodes tell this story in a different way and surprise us, perhaps. Mm-hmm. All right, back with more from Michael and Fionnuala shortly. Okay, in the company of Michael and Fionnuala, a caller said, read The Last of Us computer game. I had it on the PS3. It was terrifying. I couldn't play it. I was so scared I had to get the girlfriend to play it. Got Last of Us 2 for the PlayStation 4 recently. The girlfriend's currently playing it. It looks amazing. The game is fantastic. Fantastically finished, more like a movie. Another one. Watched The Last of Us, enjoyed the first two episodes. Hopefully it doesn't get lost in itself like The Walking Dead gave up on it after four seasons. There's a bit of that, isn't it, with The Walking Dead. I think there are a lot of us that just had enough and then...
For a lot of people, like for me in particular, I'll watch this, but it needs to have a story. You know what I mean? If they don't manage to maintain the story and it's really just people jumping out at you every second week, that doesn't do it for me. I need to have, you know, I need to care about this, the people in it to some extent, otherwise I'm out.
Caller says, I know you're sick talking about it, but I've just finished watching all seasons of Yellowstone and it was fabulous. It's just one of those shows.
It's amazing, yeah.
I'm
near the end of season 3 at the moment and I'm just going to keep watching it every week.
What is good about it?
It's good because the first season I compared to Dallas and I stand by that, but in the second season it becomes, and I really do mean this word, Shakespearean. It really goes into the characters and the tragic situation that they're in as a family. They're surrounded at all sides.
Why don't you just keep watching it then?
Is it
cliffhangers? Is it character development?
A lot of it is just...
Murder intrigue?
No, yeah, there's elements of that, but we really invest in the characters. And it's even the cowboys in the... Fionnuala, are you in season 2 yet?
I'm still on season one. And I have to say, there's just something... First of all, the cast is awesome.
Yes,
like, they're absolutely
incredible.
You know what I mean? It was amazing casting, really talented people in it. And even when they're horrible, you still care about them.
Yeah,
which you know, is that's always
a, and it's playing the long game as a storyteller. You're in season three before they explain a crucial detail of the daughter's backstory, and as soon as they do that, the final piece of the jigsaw falls into place, and you
patient storytelling.
Oh, fantastic storytelling!
All right, okay. And has anyone had sight of the prequel, the Harrison Ford prequel?
Not yet.
No, I haven't seen it come up. It's due. I thought it was supposed to be coming on Amazon or one of those, or Disney.
I need to look it up.
But it hasn't shown up yet. But I do have friends of mine who have watched it. I'm not 100% sure where they got it. I will not be dragged to court. Who have watched it and are loving it.
Loving it. Okay.
Equally, they ploughed through the five seasons of Yellowstone, went straight onto the prequel, the two prequels now, because there's two prequels knocking around, and went straight onto the first prequel and are now trawling the internet to try and find the other prequel.
Fascinating. Sarah McLachlan is in Carn Donoghue Community Hospital and is celebrating her 99th birthday today. Yeah. Happy birthday, Sarah. We're looking forward to your party today at 2 p.m. And that's coming in from James, John, Liam and Joseph, the four musketeers going along to celebrate Sarah's 99th birthday. Have a lovely day, Sarah, from all of us here as well, of course. 14 Oscar nominations for Ireland, obviously, very proud. I think the Banshee of Inisherin is doing the heavy lifting on that.
Inisherin, I thought it was.
I know, I was trying to mix it up a little bit. It's doing a bit of the heavy lifting. It's been a great year for Irish film production.
Yeah, yeah. Colleen Kuhn as well in there.
Colleen
in the internet.
Kuhn,
yeah, so
big local interest in that.
Yeah. So delighted for that.
Paul Mescal. Paul Mescal from Normal People, his nomination, which is amazing. I mean, he's such a young man to be nominated in such a thing. I'm dying to see that movie.
The most liked Irish tweet in 2020 was him correcting a BBC report that he was British.
Excellent.
He just tweeted, "I'm Irish," and it was the most interacted Irish tweet of that year.
I thought it was when, don't remember the time that he wore his gold chain and his GA shorts in London and he imploded the internet. It was never such a thing.
Such a reaction. we'll see how we fare. I think we'll do all right.
Yeah, look, either way, it shows the wealth of talent that's around here. And also, it's just really impressive, the young talent that's in it. Like, Barry Keoghan was in the Banshee of Inisherin, if anybody saw him. He kind of played for best lack of a better way of phrasing it, kind of the fool, although he doesn't really like that description of it in the himself. But he was amazing in it. And there is definitely an actor that you want to watch out. He's also part of the Marvel Universe as well.
Yes.
With the Eternals. So it is unknown.
His star
where that guy's
is rising.
Big, yeah, he's
but even the shortlisting is very good for a film, because, you know, people will go, right, shortlisted, we'll check that out.
Yeah.
So you get a second bounce on it, don't you?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking, particularly for Colleen Kuhn. It'll get more eyes now because people will, and it'll be re-released and stuff like that.
You loved that.
Loved it. Best film I saw last year.
Yeah,
I don't know anybody. I know a lot of people that have seen it.
Jumping on the bandwagon.
There was a lot of people that really enjoyed it. They thought it was beautiful, and then other people just the cuteness of it couldn't.
What?
Who are the cuteness was too much for them. They found it kind of. They found it a bit long. Mm. But look at it. It's just amazing to think that there's so many Irish actors and as I said, and particularly young Irish actors.
Would you particularly like to see someone like Colin getting an Oscar? Do you think his career deserves it?
I would. I'd be delighted for
Colin Farrell.
I just call him Colin.
He's so close.
I texted him now in a minute.
I'm torn about it because there's so many people that he's up against that I really like as well.
I suppose.
I haven't seen The Fabelmans yet, but the guy that plays the father in it, who, of course, I can't think of his name now, and I'm going to have to Google him. He's in absolutely loads of stuff over the years, and this is like his first Oscar nomination, and you're kind of like that. But he's
not Judd Hirsch, is it?
Yes,
Judd Hirsch, the amazing Judd Hirsch. Yeah. I love Judd Hirsch.
Here's a guy that you'd love to see.
Taxi.
Bill Nye is also. I love Bill Nye.
Bill Nye,
the British actor. I just think he's amazing. So there's loads of kind of those. You know,
Is that the fellow, sort of a slim, older guy?
Yes. He was in, like,
always
Love.
Looks like he might have had a couple of bevvies before.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think he's fantastic.
So do I. Like, no, I don't say that's a criticism.
About he would have been a great doctor. Remember we talked about this?
Oh, he would have been an amazing doctor.
But for whatever reason, it didn't happen. We were chatting about this.
I know,
one
and I haven't even watched the show, and I definitely think he'd have been an amazing
doctor.
You
need to doctor watch Doctor Who. You would absolutely love Doctor Who.
I don't know.
You would.
It's too many years to go back to the beginning.
2005.
There's loads of good stuff. But we are hoping over the coming weeks that we will get to see some of those movies and let you know when they're coming locally, because that's the thing about the Oscars, which seems to be, there was a time when the nominations had come out and you'd have seen them all. Yeah.
Some of them are limited release and some of them are
so and then it seems to be a lot of stuff that's, they seem to hold this stuff and release it towards the end of the year in time. I don't know when the last time I heard of a movie that was out in January, February that ended up in the, you know what I mean, that ended up in, as in the big movies in the Oscars.
Yeah,
obviously,
I know what you mean.
Things like Colleen Kuhn and that are more independent movies can come out at different times. But, you know, they tend to be out at this time and then you've missed them or they've come over. I mean, there's that, there's two or three movies there that I'm really looking forward to seeing. So
hopefully
in coming weeks.
Any views on that? 086 60 25,000. Let us know. The Light in the Hall on Channel 4 isn't an incredible watch, or is? It's an incredible watch, sorry. Anyone seen it? The Light in the Hall on Channel 4.
It's a, I know people think I watch a lot of ads. I have watched a tiny bit of it, but not enough to talk about it yet. It is a Channel 4 production. There's, again, awesome cast in it. And it seems to be that this young girl has gone missing and that they think that this guy down the road did it. And the community are kind of all trying to get him to confess and get him to do this. And it's very much in that kind of a thing.
Miniseries?
It is a miniseries, yeah. You can watch it all on the Channel 4,
right,
all four app.
That's, I might take a note to that one. I won't read some of this message because I'm not sure if it spoils the film. But a caller says, I hope the Banshee of Inisherin storyline is being lost. I hope it wins, or isn't being lost. I hope it wins every Oscar nomination it's up for. So I've cut a wee bit out of that because I'm not sure if it's a spoiler for the film and because I haven't seen it myself yet. All right, back with more from Michael and Fionnuala in a moment. All right, now coming to on Green on Theatre in Letterkenny on the 17th of February is Living Dread's production of Dante Dan, directed by Aaron Monaghan, who I'm sure the name is familiar from The Banshee of Inisherin. And we're joined on the programme now by David Rawl, who is part of this production. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Lovely to be chatting to you.
How are you keeping?
Not too bad, thanks. And yourself?
Ah, the same, the same. Right, David, tell us a little bit about this production and what people can look forward to in Letterkenny on the 17th of September, February, sorry.
Well, it's an absolutely gas comedy set in Cork, kind of in the arse end of nowhere, about a group of five teenagers who are growing up and are bursting with curiosity and questions about their changing bodies, about puberty and about sex. And basically, over the course of this long, hot summer, due to boredom and raging hormones, they decide to try and find out as many answers to these questions as they can. And it starts from a place of kind of comic, you know, innocence, and then it leads into something a little more serious with more consequences. So,
I don't want to do any disservices, but I love these shows. Are we in the sort of, you know, in-betweeners kind of territory to some extent? I'm not saying it's anything like it, but is that kind of the space we might be in?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely
which effectively is just young lads speaking about their bits crudely, I suppose. That's the only commonality. Right, okay. But yeah, I get it. And just to let people know, it's recommended for 15 plus because it contains strong language and adult themes. But what do you think the attraction is? Is it relatable? Obviously, it's clearly funny and all that kind of stuff. But why do you think people will enjoy this?
I think everybody remembers what it's like to be a teenager and to know absolutely nothing, but to be letting on that you know everything. And that kind of scenario of just, being kind of kept ignorant of all these things and kind of having to work it out for yourself. I think it's a really, really relatable kind of story, and I think everyone will see themselves in the characters as they're portrayed and be reminded of what an idiot they were when they were that age.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe give some parents an insight into what teenagers are like as well, if they themselves lived a sheltered life. So it lends itself well to the stage then, presumably the way it's all set up.
Totally. I mean, it's a very kind of theatrical piece. I mean, you know, everything about it is kind of that over the top kind of, but still quite truthfully grounded style, which is just, it's really satisfying for an actor to go out in front of an audience and to know that you're doing a show that's genuinely funny, and to actually give them that, the freedom to kind of laugh at all these wonderful characters. And that's been kind of our joy of taking this on the road. We started in Cavan there 2 nights ago. We're into Roscommon again tonight. And then we're on the road for the next couple of weeks. So
yeah, and we can't wait to welcome you up to Letterkenny. Is it fun to be involved in, David? Because it is work and it's tough work. But I suppose if you enjoy work, it's not really light work. Is it tough, or are you enjoying it and with the people that you're working with? Because it sounds like it could be fun too.
I genuinely think that of all the plays I've done, this is the most fun to do on stage, because I think with this one, the actors are enjoying it just as much as the audience are. There's so much energy, there's so much life to these characters that they've kind of burst onto the stage, and there's no self-consciousness because they're teenagers, and there's a real joy in getting to explore that and to getting to throw yourself into it every night.
And do you think, whilst you know, we expect everyone to enjoy it, do you think what's the feedback been from people who were perhaps teenagers in and around the 70s? There's a bit of nostalgia there. Is it even more relatable for that generation, I wonder?
Totally, especially because there's a lot of music in it from the 70s. You know, you've got the Archies and Mungo Jerry in the Summertime, and you've just got so many wonderful songs. And certainly when my dad was watching it, he was just like, it was the music more than anything else that kind of took me back to that time, and I remembered what it was like. And that's the response from a lot of people of that generation. But then younger generations are really connecting with it as well, which is really nice. My own age, really just seeing themselves on the stage, I suppose, when they were that age.
And we talk about how tough it is to be a teenager now. It was never very easy, really, if the truth be told. There's different challenges in different ways. This gives us an insight into that teenage life in the 70s as well, with everything that it brings, the joy and the agony as well. All right. I wonder, will he come back, or is he frozen never to return? I suspect it might be the latter. Okay, listen, we do appreciate your time. The network's let us down there, not on our side, which is refreshing. That was David Rohl. You'll know him from Moon Boy as well, actually. So there's a great cast involved in that play. Aaron Monaghan, who you'd know from The Banshee of Inisherin, he's the director. It's Living Dread's production of Dante Dan, and it is coming to An Grianon Theatre in Letterkenny on the 17th of February at 8 p.m. Tickets are €15 or €12. There's a booking fee of €1 per ticket, and the advisory here is that it's for 15 plussers, as it contains strong language and adult themes, but it sounds to me like they're strong teenage themes. I don't know, maybe we should give our younger ones a little bit more credit. This is not a criticism or whatever, but it's about them.
Yes.
So they can do it outside, but they can't come in and listen to it. Do you know what I mean?
Right, I think sometimes you wonder about the sense, you know, the way that they're probably, that sensor rating is probably given to them rather than.
Exactly, but I think
they don't generate it themselves.
I think it's guidance. Greg, The Banshee's all right. It's very overrated, though. They should have focused a bit more on the political turmoil of the time. They don't write plays like The Field anymore, but there is so much Irish literature that remains untapped by the film industry, unfortunately. And it is a bit, I'm not saying it's quite Marmite, The Banshee, it's different views on it. Some of them is the best thing they've ever seen.
Yeah.
Second season of Mayor of Kingstown has started. Picks up directly after the aftermath of season one. Exceptional viewing. from the Taylor Sheridan, yeah, who created The Mary of Kingstown. That's
I'm
not
dying
the,
to see. I'm dying to see that.
That's not the
Jeremy Renner show. It's Jeremy Renner show about the, and it's a prison, and it's again, it's.
Oh, I haven't seen the first series. I'm confusing that with the one that was in
Town. Mayor of Easttown.
Mayor
of Easttown. Yeah. Which I didn't like at all. But,
the Jeremy Renner thing now, I don't know what's going to happen with it, because after his accident now, he won't be... I think it'll be 2 years before he'll be recovered.
Yeah, okay. They've said that the producers have said, one of the other producers have said they'll work with the situation, they'll roll with it because he's key to the show. So
yeah,
roll with
that's insane.
It hasn't been commissioned yet for a third season anyway. It hasn't been picked up yet, so, you know, but it is a hit show, you know.
Right,
I'm more
concerned
about his impact on Marvel. God forgive me, it's awful. But he's going to be fine.
He is going to be fine, yeah.
He's going to be fine. He broke a lot of bones, but he's going
to
be fine.
Trying to save
his Kevin from Dunloe's given us an update on his watching of The Rig. Sadly, I found myself drifting away from watching The Rig. But maybe the wind will change.
Oh!
I hadn't realised that Rose, geologist, is actually from Schitt's Creek. It's certainly been a week for comeback stars, as 20-year-old Colin Farrell punching a girl in intermission and Mad Oscar Factor, both on our brother and sister in the Banshee of Inisherin. But now Ireland punching above its weight with 14 Oscar nominations.
Yes.
And Callian Kuhn with Donegal Connections, which we spoke about during this exact item. Okay.
I liked that review of the... Rig.
I don't think that kind of behaviour should be encouraged. I really don't. Yeah. I think
you, who would never use a pun.
You, you're
just
above that.
Not in my vocabulary.
You're very highbrow comedy coming from Greg at all times.
Right, that's on air. Okay, so the people we hate at the wedding. We kind of almost touched on this a couple of times, Fionnuala, but I don't think we ever got around to actually. An Amazon show, so if you have Amazon Prime for your deliveries, you get it for free.
Yeah, it's an Amazon movie that's on. It's just, I have not seen Kirsten Bell in anything for a while. She kind of went to TV and did quite a few really good TV programs, and we haven't seen her sort of back doing movies and stuff again. The last movie she was in, I think, was like Chips or whatever, which was with her husband, Dax Shepard.
Oh, yeah.
Is really a great cast in it. Alison Janney plays their mother. It's about three kids, two children that live in America. Their stepsister lives in the UK, and they're all invited over to England for the wedding. It's not something that you haven't seen before. It's that kind of a little bit of a slapstick comedy, that kind of a thing in it. But if you're looking for something that's just nice and light.
Is it funny?
It is funny. Yeah.
As funny as?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
It's hard to compare funny, isn't it? Different things, you know, in different movies, because for different reasons. This is just, this is not going to win any awards. It's not, you know, it's not the type of movie that they make. You know what I mean? As in, Kirsten Bell does this kind of stuff, and it's all just kind of very sort of relaxed and soft. But if you're sitting down with a glass of wine, you're thinking
bang
to yourself,
it on, and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Exactly. Yes, you will not be disappointed.
I do find myself...
Do we need to have a conversation about
the wine?
No,
Saturday night, I'm thinking.
What you accused of being obsessed with is slightly higher in the issue than my was.
What was that?
Come here. Nothing bad. Sometimes I find I want to watch something, but I don't want to be overly challenged. I don't want to have to think too much.
At the end of a busy day.
Exactly, yeah.
That's exactly what this is. You're not going to be...
Stick something on.
Exactly. You're going to put something on. You're going to sit down and watch it. Anybody in the family can kind of sit around. Well, obviously above a certain age, there's a bit of language, that kind of stuff in it. But you can just sort of sit back, relax it, you know, on a Saturday night, watch something.
Is it on the granny-o-meter?
It's low on the granny meter now. You're okay with your granny. There's nothing to,
our granny, your
granny. Yeah, your granny is the...
That's the metric.
Yeah.
Don't throw other grannies in now and confuse the thing.
But it's very... it's just one of those really kind of a nice movies that you just sit down and you...
The people we hate at the wedding. Now, Fionnuala's not saying it's going to win any Oscars or anything, but it's a good old... film to watch.
Well, just as you say, sometimes you just don't want to watch it, that you have to kind of fully engage.
I'm in that space,
that you just want something that you can kind of sit there, that you know you're going to have a couple of laughs, and that you're not going to be halfway through it and go, oh God, why am I doing this?
Yep. Lovely stuff.
This is exactly...
Right, more from our guests after these. Now, what are you doing at the start of May? Would you like to come with us in our luxury travel for a trip to the Crown Plaza Hotel in Glasgow. It's Highlands Fling in Glasgow. And we've got some great acts for you right across the three nights. Night one, 1st of May, David James and the Ryan Turner Band. On the 2nd of May, the Tuesday, the concert with Declan Ernie and many, many more. And on the 3rd, the Wednesday the 3rd, Robert Mirzel. Now what we'll do is we pick you up from here and we drive you in our luxury travel all the way over, and then we book you into your hotel and you get the accommodation included. You get breakfast, then you get dinner, you get entertainment each evening, not just the entertainment I mentioned, but also the crack that generally goes along with these events, and there's luxury coach transport. So we can take all the hassle away from you, and if you want to book your place now, and places are limited as you can imagine, a €100 deposit will do that for you. The total's £575 and you can pay it in over the next while between your deposit, of course, and departure. £575 in total per person sharing. And there's been a great interest in this already, so please don't leave it too long and miss out. But we do recognise, of course, that it's a considered purchase, but you get a big bang for your buck and you'll have a lovely time. And the hotel, very central as well in Glasgow, so you can go and explore or do whatever you want during the day, or just lie in bed and put your feet up while someone else looks after the kids or the farm or whatever it might be. But well, we'd love for you to come along with us. So you can book right now. We'll get more details, in fact, from Katie on 074 91 25,000. So for €100 today, you can guarantee that you've got that at the start of May to look forward to. And yesterday we asked you, because I was trying to blag my way onto this trip, we asked you to text in and say that you think it'd be good if I went and did a show from there, for example. And one person, Fionnuala. So if we are living in a democracy, enjoy it. I'll just have to stay here.
We'll send you a postcard.
Was that from your other phone, Greg, that text message?
No, actually, he's my
tell
number,
Ashton to stop texting.
That'd be the last person who'd be sending that text, I think. Right, okay, so that's the 1st to the 4th of May, and there's it's a nice wee buzz about it too. Other Shane Banks there as well. Who else? I don't actually have the list of names, but you were mentioning them yesterday.
Oh, Olivia Douglas, John McNichols, Sinead Black.
John McNichols is brilliant in and of himself.
Absolutely.
They all are, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no. Declan Ernie, Robert Mizell and his band, Ryan Turner and his band, our own David.
Okay, cool.
And we've loads of good karaokeers that'll be given their own
Well, that's the bit you see that I feel I'm going to be missing out on, but anyway, sure, look at but anyway, it's from the 1st to the 4th of May, the 4-star Crown Plaza Hotel. It's a beautiful hotel and lots of stuff to do within the grounds of the hotel, but also of course in and around the city, and also too, we all have family in Scotland, even maybe invite them to call over for one of the shows. Tickets will be available on the door for them and they can join you. So there's loads of reasons why, because we've got huge connections between this part of the world and Scotland. I mean, they're interchangeable really at this point. Mm. All right, get on to Katie now, 074 91 25,000, for more details or just to make sure you've got it in the bag booked. Right, okay, the Peripheral on Amazon, Michael, what's this about?
Yeah, Peripheral is science fiction action show from late last year.
Well, what about Romantic Getaway, what's that?
Yeah, we can switch if you want.
Go on. Lots of people love this track.
Yeah, well... So this is a sci-fi action show that I watched on Amazon, 8 episodes before Christmas. It's the same people that made Westworld, Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy.
Is it as confusing?
Yes.
Okay.
Possibly more so. I was a huge fan of Westworld.
Is it even racy?
Is
it racy?
No, it's not in the same way. No, it doesn't have those elements. So I was a big fan of Westworld.
Never heard them called elements before.
Well, yeah, elements. No, we're back to those teenage boys pondering their parts or whatever. I'm still doing that, so I'm not a teenager. So a Peripheral sci-fi action series, Jonathan Nolan, Lisa Joy. I was a huge fan of Westworld. Even the last season, which I thought pulled off some great storytelling ideas, but the last episode left me cold. It was disappointing because Westworld was cancelled and they don't get to finish the story. They don't get a fifth season.
Oh.
They are, however, working on Amazon. And this show has many of the same elements. It's got the robot bodies. It's got a very attractive leading lady who they have dressed in the same way. Anyone
she
who
a good
watched
her?
She's very good, yeah. Oh, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Important too, isn't it?
Chloe Grace Moretz. But they've slicked back her hair. They put her in the same outfit as the leading, as Dolores. And she's kick-ass fighting. And the fight scenes in this show are spectacular, just like on Westworld. So what's it about? About 10 years in the future, 2031, 2032, brother and sister in hillbilly country of America. Pardon my phraseology. They're gamers, professional gamers. She's particularly good. And they earn their money by playing tournaments, and they're playing...
Which a lot of people do.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a real thing. There was a great documentary I watched on Netflix about it a couple of years ago. It's really worth checking out. I can't think of the name of it. They are very good at the games. They play games like Last of Us, ironically. They get sent a headset, and the headset is for beta testing, and they're going to get a fortune to beta test this new headset.
Yes.
She puts it on, and it takes her to a futuristic world.
Right. Sounds like Jumanji.
70 years in the future.
Doesn't it, the new Jumanji?
Oh, is that what that is?
It is. They're playing with a console and they get sucked into
sucked
the game.
Sucked in? Okay. So in this, when she puts this on, it's a virtual reality world. It's 70 years in the future. It's the turn of the century. And it's a dystopian...
70 years in
her
future.
In her future.
So it's 18 total.
Yes, 80 years. In, yeah, exactly. So it takes you to the end of this century, basically, all right? So... So we're in the year 20...
I don't know anybody who knows what we're talking about.
21. So
it's not good radio, is it?
So it's 21. The year is 21. And it's London. It's the future. And the population has been wiped out.
She's been sent on... floating cars.
She's... No. Okay. She's been sent on various missions or whatever to do for the people she meets there. And she says, this is the best virtual reality. She's amazed. It's full immersion. She can't get over it. Then at the end of the first episode, she gets a message back in the real world telling her, the headset is not what she thinks it is. It's not a virtual reality.
And it's a time machine.
It's time travel. Wow. And this is how the first episode ends, and I'll say no more. Because of stuff that she's seen and done, a hit team has been dispatched, and at that moment we see two of those black SUVs arriving in town, guys pulling out with their weapons.
Yes.
They have been in 2032, they're coming to kill her now.
Ooh.
So the show works on two timelines, the present day of 2030-ish, and the far future of London.
Right, so it's like Jumanji meets Terminator.
Meets Westworld.
Westworld. Okay.
Yeah, because she's in robot body. Well, and it looks amazing. The fight scenes. Now, it's based on a novel. William Gibson, who at one point the Guardian said was the most important novelist of the past 20 years.
Wow.
They said that 20 years ago. I don't know if it still stands 40 years on. But it's part of a trilogy. So the first season, I think, adapts the first book. Very highly regarded book. I thoroughly enjoyed the series, but I would say over the 8 episodes, it's the same thing I say a lot. Is there enough story for 8 hours here?
Yeah.
I felt it dragged in the middle.
Mm.
By the end, it got very complicated.
And I've said this when you said that. If you watch it in 3 blocks,
maybe it's better.
You don't pick up on you watch
episodic,
it once a week.
Episodic.
You know? If you're binging something, you have a bad episode, but it's a bad spell rather than a...
It's in the middle.
Amazon did drop this 1 a week. So they dropped it 1 a week. I think they did 3 the first week, and then they dropped them every week. The action scenes were amazing. The cast are very good. In the present day, I'll tell you, you get a lot of military style action. You get a lot of stuff that looks like, because her brother is part of a military unit, and those guys come together, and it's slightly sci-fi because they've all got implants and they can connect to drones.
Yeah, yeah.
Drones.
Yeah.
The fight scenes are fantastic. I thought the story moves slowly, but it is a good story. And by the end of the season, they had set up multiple timelines, and and it has been picked up for season 2, and it's going to fill the Westworld void. For me.
I might watch it, actually. I might watch it despite your
review?
Recommendation. Right, listen, thank
Fanula,
you.
Can you take the knife out of my back there that Greg just placed
constantly
in there?
Constantly there.
It's always there.
It's
you better tell people what the name of the show is again after all that.
The Peripheral.
On Amazon. I wish I could go into the past and not ask you. Maybe go to Romantic Getaway.
Romantic Getaway. We'll talk about Romantic Getaway
next week. I am actually probably going to watch that. So
Romantic Getaway?
Yeah. No, The Peripheral. I'm just being an agent. Listen, thank you very much, Michael. I really appreciate it. Lovely to have you up, and great to hear your views. And of course, Fanula, the same applies to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely.
And that's where we have to leave it on the 9 till noon show for another week. Have a wonderful weekend if you can. We're back with you on Monday morning, of course, at 9 o'clock. But for me, Greg Hughes, Caroline Orr, who researched and produced, and all the team, chat to you Monday.